Well, I'd first like to just start off by saying thank you for allowing me to come. Thank you for allowing me to stand. It's not something I take lightly. It's not something that I don't hold very dear to my heart, the opportunity, the privilege, the ability. But before we get started, I just want to give you a short thought, as it is Youth Sunday, and, you know, for the past, I've known for, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 weeks that I was going to be preaching today, and I've been trying to get settled on a message and on a thought. Those of you that don't stand and preach, you may or may not understand this, but for me, the way that the Lord gives me my messages is sometimes He'll just give me a simple thought or a simple question and then tell me to go find it, go figure it out from there. But the simple thought came to me about a week ago when I had a young man look at me and go, "Well, who are you? Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Who are you to tell me that I can't do this or I shouldn't do this?" So that's the simple thought that I want to ask you and I want to put before you today. And with the Lord's help, I hope that it works out in the way that I have envisioned it, in the way that He's laid it on my heart. If I get in the way, I hope He just pushes me out of the way and He takes care of it from there. But I ask you the question, who are you? Who are you? I look across and I don't know what the numbers are today of who's in here, but I'm going to just throw a number out of 275 people. And out of that, I may could tell you the names, and this is just the names of 10. If I think real hard, I may know more. If I take out my wife and my children and my family, I may can give you the names of 10. And that's just me. I'm terrible with names. You tell me your name 15 times, I'm going to forget it by the time I walk out that door. But I can tell you that by sitting here this morning, you stand for one thing, or you think for one around one note, and that's Jesus. Amen. So when I ask you who you are, who are you, I don't ask your occupation. I don't ask your life. I don't ask your story. I don't ask that you're a father, that you're a grandfather, an uncle, a brother, a husband, a son, a daughter, a mother. I don't ask that. But I want you to think, who are you to tell someone that they're wrong? Who are you to tell someone that they need to change? And who are you to tell someone that they're living outside of God's will? We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter number 3 as our main verses for today. And as you turn there, I want you to think what your answer for that question might be. Who am I to tell someone that they're doing something wrong? If we start in verse number 18, if you all will stand. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way. To save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquities, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse number 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man do turn from righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse number 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin, that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. I'll ask Brother Robbie if he'll pray for us. Amen. Thank you. As we read through those four verses there, I look at that and I take that as a clear charge. And I take that into account when I ask myself the question, who are you? Who am I to tell someone that they're wrong? I can't answer that for anyone else in this building other than myself. But I can tell you that I am no one. I am no one by myself, standing here alone. I am nothing to tell any one of you anything. I'm nothing to tell any one of you that you are doing anything wrong. I have no right to stand here and to tell you anything, much less to tell you that you've done something wrong, much less to tell you that you need to quit living in your sin and you need to get right. I can do that because he's the pastor and he's special. I can pick on him. But while I'm standing here and while I'm trying to convey a message, if I don't have the Lord with me, I can't do anything. I can't tell you anything. I can't explain to you something that you're doing in your life that may or may not be right. So I ask you again, who are you? Who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? Who am I to tell you that you're wrong? We are no one. But I can tell you about someone, and I can introduce you to someone who can tell you your wrongdoings, who can tell you your faults, so that you can then convey those to others, and so that you can then explain to others what they can do right that they're doing wrong, or what they need to stop that they're doing wrong. Verse number 18 speaks about the wicked. And when I think about the question, who are you? I want to break us down into three categories. And those three categories are going to be our 3 points for the day. The first one, if I ask you the question, who are you? Would you answer that question as, I am wicked, I am a sinner? Now, before you answer any question for yourself, let me give you those 3 points. Let me give you those 3 scenarios, or 3 buckets, if you will, that you're going to put yourself in one. You're either wicked, you're either a lost and wicked sinner, unforgiven, or you're a forgiven sinner following a path, or are you a warner? Now, inside of those buckets, as we get into those, you'll see that there's different divisions inside of those. But if we start with the first one, a wicked and unforgiven sinner, you are one of those no ones. If you are lost right now, sitting here hearing my voice, I don't mean to be mean, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but the book tells us you're lost, you're undone, you're without God. If you die when you leave this building and you've chosen not to follow God, the devil's hell is where you will spend eternity. By standing here today giving you this message, I feel this is what the Lord has stood me here for today, and I feel that that cleans that blood off of my hands. So you have to ask yourself, whose hands are my blood on? Well, they're not on every preacher you've sat under. They're not on every person that's ever talked to you about God. They're not on every deacon that's ever been in a church you've been in. If they've talked to you and tried to help you get under conviction, tried to explain what God can do for you, that blood may just be on your own hands. So if you fall in that category of a wicked and unforgiven sinner, lost and undone without God, Matthew chapter number 18, verses 3-5, I think is going to help us a little bit with how you can become more than just a lost and undone sinner. You don't have to turn there if you want to. You're more than welcome to. But Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3 starts off stating, "And he said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as the little child, as this little child, the same is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall ever receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." For those of you, if there are any, I pray there's not. But I don't think that the Lord would put this in my message if there wasn't. But for whoever may be sitting here hearing this that is lost and undone without God, I pray to you, I pray to God that you understand that that verse, those verses, those three verses are very, very simple. They break it down to the simplest of ways. For anyone that's ever had a child, or anyone who's ever been involved in a child's life, they understand that trust of a child. And every one of us sitting here is and has been someone's child. And you understand that trust that you may have had or still have for your parent. My two daughters aren't questioning where lunch is going to come from after church today. They're not questioning how the power bill gets paid. They're not questioning how the house is over our head, how they have a room, a bed, clothes. They don't question it. They just trust that mommy and daddy are going to make sure they have it. If they can trust us and we fail them every day, why can't we trust God, who has never failed a single person ever and never will? So I ask you again, who are you? Are you that lost and undone person? Are you that one that doesn't trust Him? You may say, well, I know He's there, and I know He takes care of me. But do you trust Him? Would you lay your life in front of Him and say, do it, do with it what you will. Do with it how you see fit. Would you tell Him, here it is, it's yours. You gave it to me. I don't control it. I don't need it. You gave it to me, so I'm going to give it right back. So I ask you, do you truly trust Him as a child trusts its parents? Because if you are saved, and if you are a forgiven sinner, can you answer that question of, yes, I trust Him with every aspect of my life? I'm not going to stand right here in front of the amount of people that I'm standing in front of. Wouldn't stand in front of my wife and tell that lie. I still struggle with that every single day. I go to work every single day. The money from the paycheck goes into the bank account, goes right back out of the bank account. The bills get paid, and then I look at the bank account and I go, oh, that ain't as what I was hoping for. But that's what I'm hoping for. What I'm hoping for doesn't matter. It's what God has. It's what God need. What knows what I need. He knows I don't need $1 million in the bank, because if I did, Lord help us all, my wife would spend every penny. She's sitting here, so I can say that. It's okay. But can we fully trust Him? Because if you can't fully trust Him, you have to ask yourself, do I really, really know where I'm at with Him? Now, I'm not asking you to question your salvation. That's something you know for yourself. I don't know that Brother Mark's saved. I know what his life says. I know what his testimony says. I know the words that come out of his mouth. But I don't know a single thing other than that. But He knows. And I believe from hearing Him say it that He is. So your salvation is you. That's on you. But I'm talking about trust. I'm talking about being as that little child. Now, I said there was going to be multiple divisions within those buckets. That lost and undone sinner bucket, we compile it all together, everyone in that bucket's lost and undone. But inside of that lost and undone, there's the ones that choose to be lost and undone, and the ones that are working on getting out of that bucket. You ever heard the expression, couldn't fight your way out of a wet paper bag? Well, there's ones of them in there that ain't going to get out of that paper bag because they choose not to. They choose to sit there like a stump on a log and just, well, okay, it'll end one day. And then there's the others that are falling under, have fell under, and will fall under that conviction. And they'll choose to kick that bag open and to walk out proud. And that's when they become this next section. That's when they fall into the next bucket. Verse number 19 of Ezekiel chapter number 3. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That's that sinner. That's that lost and undone sinner that chooses to sit there like a knot on a log. Verse number 20 talks about the forgiven sinner. And again, when a righteous man do turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because he has not been given. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. Now, it doesn't say that that man loses his salvation, but it does say that that man turns away from his righteousness. And I laid a stumbling block before him. So I want to ask you, who are you? Are you the one who stands beside that man? Come here for me. And he's walking in his righteousness. And then he turns and he goes that way. And you just keep walking? Or are you the one who he's walking with you in his righteousness, and you lay that stumbling block ahead of him and he falls on the ground? And then you turn and walk away. We all are guilty of this. I'm not going to stand here and be holier than thou or more righteous than thou. I'm as guilty of this as the man standing on the street corner. I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. We all have made the decision not to stop someone when we saw them going down the wrong path. If you haven't, then I thank God for you, because you've done exactly what God wants you to do. But I know that I've not always been that good. I've not always lived that right, that way. I've made those bad decisions. So I ask you, who are you? Are you the forgiven sinner? Right here. I'm a sinner saved by God's grace and ain't nothing more. I'm not what I once was, not what I'm going to be, but I'm right where I need to be right now. Because if I wasn't, he'd put me somewhere else. If you're that stumbling block, if you're that person, see somebody going great, I mean, you see him and you go, wow, he's living right, he's doing good, he's got the brand new truck, the brand new house, the brand new suit, the brand new this. He's looking great. And you look at him and you go, ah, it'll fall. He'll hit a roadblock. Something will happen. You're that stumbling block. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to make any strife. But I'm just telling you like the Bible states it is. If you're not the one to grab him and turn him back, you're the stumbling block. His blood would be on your hands if he was to die in his sin and outside of his righteousness. Now, nowhere in there did I say he loses his salvation. Nowhere in there did I say that he is any less of a saved man. But he's a saved man dying in sin. Third bucket. Are you a warner of the wicked and of the righteous? Are you the one who stands there and tells those that are living wrong, I love you, but you're living wrong. I love you, but I don't love the sin that you're in. God loves you. Jesus died for you. But the way you're living and what you're doing isn't right. Are you the one standing there telling the righteous man, telling the deacon, telling the man who's been in church his whole life? He may not have ever been called to be a preacher. He may not have ever been called to be a Sunday school teacher. He may have never been called to be a deacon. He may have just been, I'm sorry, I don't mean to stop my thought process, but the Lord just laid this on my heart. I think of an old man. He sits about three rows back at my mama's church. I don't know how long he has left. Lord, only the Lord knows. Never been called to be anything except for my grandfather. But that man's a warner. He's told me many times, boy, you better get right. Boy, you better act right. You better stand up. Do what you've been told to do. But he's the one. I love him to death. He's the one that'll tell you what he sees. He won't tell you anything more than that, but he'll tell you exactly what he sees. And if he sees it's wrong, he'll tell you it's wrong. But I ask you, who are you? Are you that warner? Are you that stumbling block? Are you just starting your journey? Are you the sinner that's still lost and doesn't know where to go? If you are any of those, I can tell you where you can be helped. I can tell you where you can get guidance of how to get to the next step, how not to make that same mistake and be that stumbling block. I can tell you, if you're the warner and you feel like you are doing everything the Lord lays in your path and you're doing everything you can for it, I can tell you where he'll tell you if you're right or wrong. And that's right at the foot of the cross. That's right at his feet with your face buried down in that ground and you begging him to show you your iniquities, show you where you've turned from righteousness, show you your downfalls. And he'll lay them before you because that's what he wants. He wants us to understand how good we can be and how good he is to us. We should all strive to be that warner. We should all strive to be that one who sees something and says something. My father-in-law over there, I love him to death. We all do, but we all know if it comes to his brain, it's coming out his mouth. Good, right, wrong, or indifferent. He thinks it, he's going to say it. There's been times in the years that I've been around him that I wanted to hug his neck. But when I thought about what he said, he probably was right. He was probably telling me something I just didn't want to hear. We all should be that way. If the Lord puts it on our heart, don't hold it in. If he lays it in front of you, don't swallow it. Don't fight it back. Just let it out. Because he's not going to lay it in front of you unless he's ready for you to get rid of it. Unless he's ready for you to share it. And if you feel like you can't be the one to share it, trust me, you can. Trust me. you can be the one who shares it because he gave it to you. Because he's going to give you the abilities. He's going to give you the strength. And he's going to tell you how. He's not just going to say, here it is. You figure it out. He's going to say, here it is. And then he's going to do it for you. He's going to do it through you. And you'll never even realize how easy it was. As I conclude, I ask you, do you want to make sure that their blood's not on your hands? This being Youth Sunday, I love the fact of what Brother Mark brought up. He said, children, find you a mentor. Children, find you someone. You got problems. Find somebody to ask questions to. Find someone to help you with those problems. I want to challenge the kids to do that. Listen. I don't know if they're mostly out there or mostly behind me, but they can hear me. The world that your parents grew up in, kids, is not the world you're growing up in. The world your grandparents grew up in is not the world you're growing up in. You're fighting things that they didn't fight. They fought things that you ain't going to fight. They may not fully understand what you're going through, but they fully understand where your heart's at. And they fully love you and want the best for you. Sometimes the best is not what you want, and it's not what you want to hear. But accept their feedback. Accept their mentor, their leadership, their teaching. My challenge to the kids is to find that person that you can talk to. If you can't find somebody in this building, you can always talk to God. If you can't find somebody, if you don't know who to go to, your pastor will help you find somebody. Your deacon will help you find somebody. If they can't, they can send you my way because I'll help until we can find somebody else or if I'm the one that the Lord wants you to be talking to. The other thing that I want to state is to the rest of the church. Be that mentor. Be that leader. Don't be the judge when they come up and talk about the things they're going through. Whatever they may be going through right now may be the worst thing they've ever been through. And it may be nothing to us. It may be nothing to you. It may be so simple that you just go, oh, you'll get over that. Oh, little girl, you'll get over that boy. He broke your heart. It's okay. That may be the worst thing that they've ever been through. So be that mountain. Be that one who lifts them up. Don't be that stumbling block. Don't be that turns them away. Be the one that turns them in. Turns them back to God. Be the one who takes them from the lost to the forgiven to the warner. That's the life journey of a Christian. In my eyes, you're lost, you get forgiven, and then you warn others that they're lost, that they need to be forgiven so that they can warn others. So on and so on and so on. So lastly, I ask you, who are you? Who are you to tell someone they're wrong? Brother Mark, if you'll come.